Hello, thank you for tuning in our next sermon in our Proverbs series. And happy Mother's Day. A big happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I hope this morning you find this to be a real blessing. Let's come to prayer as we come to God's Word. Would you pray with me? Lord, you are a good and gracious God. You love us and you care for us and you bless us in so many ways. Lord, would you please let your word be a blessing to us this morning and point us to the grace and the peace that we have in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, today we are continuing our series in Proverbs. I thought this day, Mother's Day, would be a good opportunity for us to look at the last passage in the book. We've been looking for wisdom in the pages of Proverbs and trying to see how to live wise lives in the grace of God. So on this Mother's Day, I hope that this is an encouragement for you, especially for all the mothers out there. This passage is a poem, and most of the translations have added a title, something to the effect of a wife of noble character. And so today's a chance for us to honour the wise women who have blessed us in our lives. I suspect, though, that for most of the women who've just read our reading, Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, they've heard it as a crushing weight of expectation. I suspect that for most of the women there is a sense of never being good enough. And modern life has done very little to help women develop a sense that they are loved and respected and honoured, unless they're perfect in every way. We're all well aware of the misogyny that degrades and denigrates women, treats them as inferior or substandard because of their gender. That is an evil that dishonors the truth that women are created in the image of God. But I'd also suggest that more prevalent than misogyny is the subtle sense that women need to do and be everything. The unrealistic expectation that your home must be both a perfect nest of nurture and a bespoke gallery of style and distinction. Your children must be beautiful and thriving and endearing, each with a unique hipster name, with each birthday party planned to Instagram perfection. You must be a flourishing businesswoman who is either revolutionizing your industry with your own startup or at least working at peak capacity in senior management. You must be stunningly beautiful with both the sex appeal of a Playboy kitten, but also the easygoing charm of the girl next door. You must be educated and erudite in every field. You must be a paradigm of wellness, living out your best self lean, clean, and serene. You must be an advocate of justice and equality, speaking truth to power and making sure that every wrong in society is righted. You must, you must, you must. And it's crushing. Little wonder that so many women are angry and anxious and just plain tired. Over 20 years ago in the New York Times magazine, there was an article by John Tierney, which was published on Valentine's Day. Tierney had compared the dating ads that were placed around the country in various cities, and he came to the conclusion that many New Yorkers were incapable of forming healthy relationships because of what he called their built-in floromatic. After looking at the completely unrealistic qualities that people wanted in a partner and some of the ludicrous reasons that people walked away from relationships, he talked about his own issues with the floromatic. He's being tongue-in-cheek here. Let me read a quote. Quote, "During my years living alone, I always knew that my own requirements in a woman were perfectly reasonable. All I wanted was a nice novelist slash astronaut with a background in fashion modeling." If these are the expectations that we carry for women, and we think that they are realistic, then it's little wonder that our relationships are not doing so well. They're not thriving. As you read about the wife of noble character in Proverbs 31, she does sound like the perfect woman. She has a successful husband, happy children, she's a shrewd investor, a competent businesswoman, and a perfect homemaker. Now, tragically, there have been some books, even whole ministries, that have held up this woman as a model of what every Christian woman must be. And she's like some composite of every perfect celebrity on your Instagram feed, rolled into one. If she's the standard for Christian women, then what hope do women have? Well, I think there is hope. For the rest of our time together, I pray that the Word of God gives you a sense of peace that lets you rest in wisdom and in grace. Let's turn to the passage and look at it. Keep it open there if you've got it. Verse 10, chapter 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? And you might be tempted to think, no woman is that perfect. And you know what? You'd be right. This isn't an account of an actual woman. She doesn't have a name. She's not a real person. Nor is it a standard that's held up for all women to live up to. This is an acrostic poem. Each line begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a poem that's written to help us see the value of wisdom in the life of a godly woman. So don't think this is a standard to meet. Think this is a role model to follow. This is an ideal to show you the value of wisdom. In Proverbs, we see the picture of an ideal king. In Proverbs, we see the picture of an ideal son. We have those ideals so that a king might grow wiser, a son might grow wiser. Likewise, this is an ideal picture so that a woman can grow in wisdom. And if any of you feel that the scriptures aren't being even-handed, well, you can look at Psalm 112 for an equally ideal picture of wise and faithful manhood. If we can get past the sense of expectation, this is a beautiful picture of how wisdom leads to blessing and flourishing. The woman is pictured as having many of the qualities of wisdom that have been talked about in the Proverbs. She's loving and faithful, diligent and hardworking, prudent in planning, generous and concerned for the poor. She's prepared for the future. She's caring. You can find many proverbs throughout the book of Proverbs that praise all of these qualities as being wise. The big theme that runs through this passage is that this woman is strong. A wife of noble character is actually more literally translated a woman of strength. Verse 17 talks about the strength of her arms for her tasks. Verse 15 doesn't literally say give food to her household, it says gives prey to her household. She's like a lioness who is swift and strong in the hunt. This is a picture of feminine strength and wisdom. Much of what is said about the woman in the poem is a repeat of what has been said about wisdom in the earlier chapters. If you remember, at the start of the book of Proverbs, wisdom itself is personified as a beautiful woman. So here is a picture of wisdom at work in a life of a woman. Let me give you some examples. In 31:10, the woman is described as being worth more than rubies. If you flick back to chapter 3, Proverbs 3, 13 to 15, wisdom itself is portrayed as a beautiful woman. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. The woman in our passage in verse 13 to 15 is working at homemaking and providing food for her household. If you go back to Proverbs 9, 1 to 6, we hear the same set of wisdom itself. Wisdom has built her house. She's set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set out her table. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Someone has said that this poem is, quote, a demonstration of what the life of wisdom herself would look like were she to manage the home. Wisdom is no esoteric concept which floats in some mythical realm out of touch with the ordinary. The wisdom of God here is expressed in the creativity, responsibility, and artistry of managing a home, preparing for the needs of others, and taking a stand on the side of the poor. This morning I'd like you to take away three things. Firstly, praise the wise and godly women in your life. Secondly, grow in wisdom. And third, see the grace that leads to wisdom. Firstly, on this Mother's Day, I'd urge you to praise the godly, wise women in your life. Verse 11 speaks of the husband having confidence in his wife. Chapter 23 talks about him sitting at the city gate, that was the public place of judgment and justice, and he's well respected there. This isn't a picture of the battle of the sexes. This is a beautiful picture of men and women blessing and enriching one another in the spheres that they occupy. Verse 28 to 29, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. It is notable that the last words of Proverbs are written in praise of godly, wise women. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Children, bless your mothers. Husbands, praise your wives. Men, see and value the women in your life and honor them for the blessing that they are. Now, if you struggle to speak well of the women in your life, either about them or to them, I'd say that the issue is with you. You've not learned to see the women in your life the way that God sees them, and you don't bless them the way that He blesses them. I've been so blessed with a wise and godly mother. I've been so blessed with a wife who is strong and wise and godly. My mother-in-law is a constant source of wisdom and blessing to our family. Each of these women is different with different strengths, but each one is a picture of wise, faithful blessing and strength. If my daughters grow in the wisdom and the strength that they see in their mother and in their grandmothers, I will be overjoyed, because they are women who are worthy of honor. Women, let me say to you, whether you are married or not, in a relationship or single, whether you have children or grandchildren or not, you are made in the image of God. He loves you and He treasures you. And no matter what relationships you have, what roles you inhabit, what responsibilities you undertake, you don't need to be perfect. You are loved and treasured and valuable because God Himself made you and He sees your value. The second thing I want you to take away this morning is this: grow in wisdom. For the women, yes, but for the men too. The book of Proverbs is there to help you grow in wisdom. It is the wise action of this woman that brings blessing to her family, blessing to her whole community. It's a beautiful picture, because when we live with wisdom, there is blessing. The key is found in verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The end of the book takes us back to the start of the book. If you go to Proverbs 9:10, you hear this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see, this woman isn't just winning at life. She fears the Lord, and so she doesn't fear for her household or fear for her future. She has gone to the source of wisdom. She's gone to God. And from that source, wisdom and blessing flow into her life. The last thing I want you to take away is that we are accepted because of the grace of God. There is a religious approach to life that says if you meet these standards, then you'll be accepted. If you live up to this ideal, you will be loved. It could be a book or a ministry saying you have to be the Proverbs 31 girl or you're not godly. Or it could just be the pressure of social media that says you need to have the perfect Instagram life in every area or you are not good enough. Either way, it says you need to meet these standards or you will not be accepted. But that isn't what the grace of God says. None of us have been perfectly wise or diligent or loving or holy. Not one of us, men or women, could ever live up to the ideal of the Proverbs 31 woman. But listen to this. When Paul talks about the grace of God in the book of Ephesians, he pictures Jesus as a husband and the church as a wife. Every Christian is part of the bride of Christ. And Paul says this: Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. You see? It doesn't say, get yourself holy and clean and blameless and then you'll be accepted. No, it says that Jesus died for his church to make her holy and clean and blameless. He accepted us as his bride by loving us and dying for us. And then he works in us to make us holy and clean and blameless. We come to God as we are and we acknowledge our failures to him. We trust in his love for us. And then he begins to do the work of making us holy and clean and blameless. And when we see that God loves us so much, even when we aren't perfect, it sets us free from the treadmill of never-ending expectation. We don't have to run ourselves ragged trying to be perfect in every area. We don't need to be filled with guilt and shame when we fall short. We can rest in the love and the grace of our good and perfect heavenly husband who loves us and accepts us and works in us and works through us to bring wisdom and blessing. The fear of the Lord, that relationship of love and trust and turning from sin, it leads to wisdom and to strength and to all the blessings that the passage speaks of. So let us live wisely in the grace of God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, you are a good and loving God, a God who loves us and blesses us, who pours his strength into our heart and into our lives. Lord, we are sorry sometimes we have felt like we need to attain perfection in our own strength and then come to you and say, look, see what I've done. But that is completely the opposite of how you treat us. You lay down your life for our failure, for our sin, for every way that we've fallen short. And you say, because of that, you're loved. You're accepted. Thank you that you are a husband who is faithful and tender and blesses his bride. God, we pray for the women in our lives, our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our wives, our children, all the beautiful, precious women that you have made. Lord, we pray that you would bless them, help us to love them, serve them, honor them, and praise them the way that you want us to. We pray that they would rest knowing that you treasure them. Oh God, we pray that you would make us wise and help us to live resting in your grace. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us. God bless you this week. I pray that you are encouraged to rest in the grace of God as you live a life of wisdom in him.